So as this, you know, Spickelmeyer's are gone, we have a guest speaker. This guest speaker I know very well. I could go on and on with the introduction on her. It's our daughter, Laura. And for those of you who don't know her, she grew up here in this church. And she went off to college at Bethel. And she went to Bethel Seminary. And then got ordained in the Covenant Church. And now is working from home. She's a mom. So she's a full-time housekeeper, but actually, you know, there's a lot of work to that, actually. So anyway, but Laura, you're coming to give us a message, and so lay it on us heavy. Yeah. So welcome, Laura, she comes.
Thank you. Oh, it's really a joy to be with all of you this morning, and Happy New Year, and thanks to Pastor Eric, wherever you are. Hopefully he's sipping coffee, you know, on a couch somewhere this morning. So I'm grateful to him for the invitation to come and be with all of you this morning. So if we could just begin with a word of prayer, I'd like to do that. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. We are so grateful to be your people gathered here together in the same room this morning, worshiping you and honoring you with all that we are and with all that we have. We're grateful to come together to do that. And so, God, we pray that your Spirit would move among us as we hear your word and meditate on it and just chew it up together today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, physical touch has never been my first choice in terms of extending or receiving love. If you're familiar with the five love languages, physical touch is one of them. And I became more aware of this when I went to college a few years back and had some friends who just really like to hug. And I was honestly like, what is with all the hugs? And I also had a hard time expressing my tears with people at that time in life. And so most of the time, if I needed a good cry, I would just crawl up into the top bunk in my dorm room and like cry softly into my pillow at night when I thought no one else could hear and when no one else was around. I was just a lovely young hot mess at that stage in life. And I also remember my junior year in college, and I was really struggling with writing a paper. Man, it was really rough, and the process was bringing up a lot of self-doubt. And one night, I was with my friend, Christian Ann, and suddenly, tears were just erupting from my eyes, the big kind of unstoppable, ugly cry kind of moment, which was really inconvenient because I was supposed to be writing this paper, and it was really an unpleasant surprise to me, and a surprise to her as well, I think. But she welcomed me, and she welcomed my tears. And when I think back on that experience, I don't even remember what I said. I don't really remember what she said to me in that moment. But I do remember letting the tears finally come. And my friend gave me a big hug, and she comforted me for a good long time. I honestly, it felt like a mom moment, like Christian Ann just held me. Well, I just had to let it out. And I don't have words for exactly how that physical experience deepened my life in God, my faith in Jesus, but I know that it did. It was one of those moments. Something happened, something of God happened in the tears and in the embrace. The physicality of that experience and its spiritual impact on me is similar to the physical sensation of anointing oil gently being touched in the form of a cross on my forehead in prayer, or the deep aching knot of sadness and grief and pain I felt in my stomach after the loss of a relationship, or running in my neighborhood and breathing hard with no room for thoughts, only running and breathing. This was an old memory. Heart pounding in my chest. And you know, the kind of experience where it's like, Lord, in you I live and move and have my being. And God shows up, you know, and God shows up, and God shows up. I believe that for all of us, the Spirit of God is at work, deepening our love for God, neighbor, and our own selves through our physical embodied experiences in these bodies. And here's the thing, though. We pay a lot of attention to our bodies in Western culture. I'd say in the United States, there is a lot of attention given to bodies. And Thomas Ryan, the author of the book Prayer of the Heart and Body, he writes this: but rarely is it with the intent to open ourselves to God. I would add, especially at this time of year. Even when we pray for healing of the body, the end prayed for is just to make the body well again, not necessarily that our bodily experience might become a means of deepening our life in God, whatever the result. So, church, let's consider today that there is more that Jesus wants to help us understand and appreciate about our bodies. I really feel like that's the nutshell. It's coming on really early on in the sermon, but let's consider today that there's more that Jesus wants to help us understand and appreciate about our bodies, their abilities and their limits, strengths and weaknesses, and where we might discover him there, where we might discover him right here. Again and again, as our bodies grow and change and age. I think that for us to discover how our experiences in our bodies might become a means of deepening our life in God, Jesus first models and teaches in the Gospels that these bodies of ours are to be honored. This is everywhere in the Gospels. Jesus honors our bodies. I really think this is foundational. So too should we honor our bodies. These bodies of ours are worthy of respect, affection, and compassion. So we're going to turn to our lesson, gospel lesson today, and it's from Mark chapter 5. So you can grab a Bible. My dad made me some awesome slides today. I'm not much of a PowerPoint gal, but there they are. You can look up there. You can follow along on your phone. And we're in Mark chapter 5. Verses 21 through 43. And in this story, Jesus has two very different encounters with people who come seeking him out due to physical suffering. I'd like to read this story for us. And I want you to listen. Here's your job this morning. I want you to listen as if this were the only story you have ever heard about Jesus. Okay? Sometimes these stories get a little old hat for us who have been around the Gospels once or twice. So if this was the only story you had heard about Jesus, what would you learn about him? If this was the only story we had heard as a group about Jesus, what would we learn about him? Pay attention to and let yourself imagine the movement of Jesus and the people in the story. So you can, as I said, you can follow along. You can also close your eyes and just listen. And either way, I want you to just kind of plant your feet on the floor. Be in your body as you listen. So bring it on down from your head and thinking mode, maybe. Get settled in. Notice your breath. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping?" "The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. This is God's living word. Thanks be to God. I love this story. And the question was, if this was the only story we had heard about Jesus, what would we learn about him? I would just love to hear from all of you. I wish this was a group share time. And I would say, "What stood out to you?" And then we would get to chat about it. That's not what this is, unfortunately, as much as I would like to have some dialogue. But I would love to hear your answers. And I think it might be worth writing down or continuing to have a conversation with Jesus about what it was about him that stood out to you from this story. If I were to pick one thing that stood out to me today, it's this. I learn in this story that Jesus honors the bodies of women. My Jesus cares for and honors the bodies of women. And I love him for it. I love Jesus for that. I think we can be pretty hard on our bodies sometimes. Sometimes not affording them rest, at other times not affording them healthy movement, taking them for granted or dwelling on the flaws, forgetting the beauty. Sometimes we lose ourselves in shame or self-loathing, apathy, pride, self-pity. Sometimes we simply view our bodies as an inconvenience. I'm really guilty of this one. resentful of the time and attention they require. Somehow increasingly as you get older and older. Or for some, they become the disproportionate focus of one's time and attention, prized and idolized. Our relationship with our bodies, I think, is complicated. And I think we move through seasons of making our peace and move through seasons where it feels more complicated again. One example I want to share with you is that ever since giving birth to Phoebe, this little peanut, I've been having on and off again pain in my left hip. Am I an old woman? There have been times where it's laid me up for a couple of days. And my go-to response is rarely the self-compassion of, hip, are you hurting again? Where is that heat pack? I'm going to take good care of you. We'll just do our best today. Instead, I get really frustrated and impatient and wish the pain would just go away. Like, where is the ibuprofen? And, it's so inconvenient to deal with this hip. Like, there are other things in life that I want to be about on this day. And then I get angry and I'm like, I'm in my 30s with hip pain. What the heck? And there are also times where I get defeated about it. And it's like, well, guess this is just the way it's going to be then. Just going to have this old hip pain and got to push through and grin and bear it kind of attitude. And there are often the desperate flung prayers of, Jesus, please heal this hip pain. Which even actually, as I was writing this in the sermon, I realized like, oh, the prayer, that is like the prayer in my head. But what I really mean is like, Jesus, take the pain away right now. And that's a difference. Jesus, please heal this hip pain. And Jesus, take the pain away right now. And I pray, Jesus, heal this hip pain with much sincerity. But sometimes it leaves me with a residue of resentment in my heart towards Jesus when the instant healing that I really want doesn't come the way that I want it to. I have a harder time talking with Jesus about the frustration, the anger, the apathy, and the resentment I feel towards my body. I find myself wondering, Jesus, where are you in this? And that's where I'm at. I'm in process. We're in process on this. The hip, Jesus, and I. And there are days when I'm really hopeful, and there are days when I lose faith in the simple truth revealed in Mark 5 that Jesus cares about my body. And this happens, doesn't it? Sometimes we lose, misplace faith in the simple truth that Jesus cares about our bodies. Anger blinds us. Pride trips us up. Shame chokes us. Fear grips us. And all of this Jesus knows. And I imagine he takes us by the hand, just like he took the hand of that 12-year-old daughter. And Jesus comes, and Jesus moves, full of compassion towards us, knowing of what we are made, familiar himself with suffering and pain and grief. And Jesus honors and cares about our bodies, these temples in which the Spirit of God dwells. These bodies, the ones we're in right now, not the 90 days from now beach body. You know what I'm saying? Not last decade's body either. But this one, this body right here and right now with all of its strength and all of its frailty. Thomas Ryan writes, what we are now is the intimate habitat of God. What we are right now is the intimate habitat of God. Doesn't it make your, like, chest puff out a little bit in a good way. There are no second-rate bodies here. We have not been burdened with this world and this flesh in order that we might weasel our way out, writes Ryan. Rather, we have been gifted with this world and these bodies because this is where God dwells. Right here in this room with all these bodies, all of this flesh is holy, and the ground of all human endeavors is sacred. It is in these bodies that we work out our salvation. This corporal nature is the place that God chose to call home. We have been gifted with this world and these bodies. And we've been reminded of this all Christmas season as we celebrate the incarnation of God's own Son, coming as a human, frail little baby. And if we could even zoom out further in this text, we didn't dive down into it, we've been zooming out, if you haven't noticed. And I believe that this points us to a core theological belief we hold as Christians that greatly informs this emphasis on our embodied experience that we've been talking about today. So the theological belief that we hold as Christians is that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. That is pretty countercultural. We believe that Jesus was but the first to be bodily raised from the dead. In him, a new reality was born, a new creation begun. And like Jesus' resurrected body wasn't quite the same as before. He was walking through walls, and yet they didn't really know him, and then they knew him. Like on the road to Emmaus, and they were chatting, and he's telling them all the things. They get down and start to eat, and it wasn't until he broke the bread that they were it was Jesus. So just like Jesus' resurrected body wasn't quite the same as before, so our physical bodies, I believe, will be with us for all of eternity, but they won't be like this one we have now. There's hope. And I love this. This is going to get even better. It gets even better. Paul, in a metaphor in his letter to the church in Corinth, is talking about our resurrected bodies. He's imagining what this is going to be like, and he has this metaphor in 1 Corinthians 15, and he writes, "When you put a seed, farmers, you get this," I feel like. We're in the right place for this metaphor. "When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow. We are not planting whole corn stalks. We're just planting a little kernel of corn. What you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead," Paul writes. "Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength." Church, we are now but seeds. Glorious little seeds. And we will be transformed. For God honors our bodies from birth to death to all of eternity. I hear you, girl. And all the while, from birth to death to eternity, Jesus sustains us. I'm so grateful we had communion together today. I love communion. Oh, I'm going to cry about it. That's okay. The bodily experience you just can't control sometimes. All the while, Jesus sustains us. And he says to us, "This is my body broken for you. I am the bread of life. Take and eat. This is my blood poured out for you. Surely this is the cup of my love, and it's poured out for you. Take and drink of this. We have eaten and we have drank today, and it is sustaining life that we have taken in, the life of Christ. Take and eat, chew and swallow. It's a very physical act. It's a very physical act. And Jesus knew that we would need it. We would need the tangible reminder, the reminder of his grace that is sufficient again and again and again. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So, dear church, go in faith. Jesus is near, and his intentions toward us and his intentions towards our bodies are good. May we respond in kind today. These bodies of ours have a lot to look forward to. As they change for better and for worse, may we honor our bodies and those of others as Jesus does, with respect and affection, with care and intentionality, with words of healing and hope. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you draw near to us, that you care about our bodies, you care about our hearts and minds. Thank you for the way that you honor us in our humanity. And thank you for providing the means for life eternal and for sustaining grace. So Lord, I pray that for whatever is happening in the bodies of all of us gathered here today, Lord, will you draw near and come close. Minister to us once again with your love and with your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.